how God worked during our survey trip and has been leading up to this point. And we really enjoyed our time during our survey trip over there. It was a blessing to see the Lord work in my heart and Christina's as we were there just to we were just really praying specifically that God would convince us and just give us that peace in our hearts before the end of our time there, if this was really what He wanted us to do, and just wanted Him to really settle that in our hearts. And it was a blessing to see God do that. And even after the first couple of weeks, we talked and we just were kind of, you know, not totally sure that this was what God had, but we just began to pray even more earnestly. And a few weeks later, when it was time to come back to the States, God had just settled it in our hearts. And we talked again, I remember one night, and we both just realized that this is what God has for us. And He had done that work in our hearts. So we're so thankful for that and just for how He has continued to direct through my upbringing in many different ways. And we're just thankful for what God is going to do. In the video, you may have seen that the church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, all of the services are in English. And so that is a huge blessing for us to be able to jump right in and not have to learn a language before we can communicate with the people there. But we will be planning to learn Swahili as soon as we can over there to be able to minister most effectively to them. That's their most comfortable language, and just to show them that we are there to be a blessing to them and try to serve them and reach them for the Lord. We want to try to learn Swahili, which thankfully it's not one of the most difficult languages in the world. It is with some of the other languages that I had studied in high school and college. When I went there my first time, I was able to pick it up and read it. And they could understand what I was saying, but I had no clue what I was saying. And so I pray that I would gain understanding of that and be able to speak that and read it, and that my wife and I both would be able to pick that up fairly quickly. I failed to mention this morning our table out in the lobby in the back. We have prayer cards out there, of course. Please help yourself to those. And remember to pray for the Raines family. There'll be two Raines families there. And so you can pray for all of us. We would deeply appreciate it, that's for sure. And remember, when it rains, pray for the rains, okay? That's kind of a way to remember. Or if it's snowing, we'll take that too. And then also on the table in the back there, we have an email sign-up sheet. If you'd like to receive our email updates, we'll try to send out brief updates just to keep you posted on how God is answering your prayers and other prayer requests that you could partner with us in, and you can have an eternal impact on the other side of the world. I know many of you do already as you pray for other missionaries that have come through here that you support, and we would just deeply covet your prayers and your prayers for the ministry there that God has for us. So if you'd like to receive those email updates, if you'd just very neatly print your name and your email address, we would love to be able to get you on our email update list and send you those updates. Right now we send them about once a month, but once we're over there, we're planning to send out real brief email updates each week. And so we'd love to be able to keep you connected on what God's doing there. Also on the table we have some CDs. I'm one of eight kids, and some of us are married. We all got together and made a recording, and really God began the burden to make some recordings while I was in Kenya back in 2005. And again, in our survey trip just a couple of years ago, he reminded me of how little music they really have available over there. They don't have the Christian bookstores like we have here, and the average person there just really can't afford to go online and download music off the internet. And so God has provided some amazing avenues for us to be able to make some recordings. He's provided a free recording studio of excellent quality. And so those CDs on the back, though, are a part of that ministry, and we're trying to make some more. There's a website that's being built right now that will have a lot of music available on there as well, primarily for the Kenyan people, but, of course, anyone who would like to listen to that is welcome to. And so those CDs on the table there in the back are $8 a piece, titled Christ is All. And it's a combination of all of us singing together, and some men's quartet, my brothers and I, my wife and I singing duets, and some solos and piano solo. And so we would just trust that that would be a blessing in your car, in your home, or wherever you would listen to that. Trying to think if there's anything else on the table there. I think that's it. But anyways, any questions at this time? I'm sure there's many other things that we could talk about right now, but yes, ma'am. Yeah, kind of like it's similar to how things are in America. You know, you talk to people here and they say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." Well, it basically means, you know, it's a pretty broad term, and a lot of people there say the same thing. They know who Jesus is, they know of that name, you know, but if you ask them, you know, how do you think that you can have forgiveness of sins and how can you get to heaven? A lot of them will refer to an infant baptism or some charismatic experience that they had in church one time or a dream that they had. Very few people will give you a clear Bible explanation that it's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so there's definitely a huge need there, a lot of confusion in many of the people there. The charismatics, the Pentecostals, are very prominent over there. It's a very attractive religion to the people in poverty throughout the world, but it's very prominent there in Kenya, and so they're very attracted to speaking in tongues and the healing gifts and all these things that that are promoted there in the charismatic religion. Any other questions? Yes, sir, in the back there. Yeah, there have been a few here and there that have answered correctly. But thankfully it has, you know, overall the people there are very friendly, very warm and welcoming. They're honored, you know, that you would stop and talk to them, which is very different from most places here in America. If you go and knock on someone's door over there, typically they'll invite you in and heat up some African chai for you to sip on, and they'll want to talk with you. And many times one thing we have to be really careful with is that many people there will try to give you the answer that they know that you want to hear. You know, so if you invite them to come to church, they'll say, "I will be there on Sunday. I will see you there." And then church that Sunday comes and goes, and you never see them. And you go back in and visit, and they have some, you know, good reason why they weren't there. And so, anyways, it's difficult sometimes to get people to understand the true need to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there are many open doors. It is just a very, very open country, and we know that God is more than able to, you know, penetrate their hearts and clear up that confusion that's in their hearts. Good. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, there is a presence of Muslims there in the city of Thika. There is a mosque right there in the city. And throughout the years that my brother and his family have been there, they've really had a lot of open opportunities with many of the Muslims in the area. They've not experienced any, really much at all, any antagonism or animosity toward them. So really the main negative influence from Muslims has been from Somalia, the terrorists that have been coming in and, you know, going onto buses there. But that has mostly been over by the Somalian border, that a lot of that has been taking place. The Kenyan military is very active in keeping the terrorists out. But at the same time, there have been a couple of Muslims that have received Christ as Savior and started attending Lighthouse Baptist Church, and so that has been exciting to see. So it's been interesting, you know, it's been a pretty open door with many of them, but at the same time they have very strong family ties that really put a lot of pressure on people not to turn their life over to Jesus Christ. Good. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Yeah, there. In fact, the last regional revival, from, you know, studying world history of revival took place there in Kenya and some of those East African countries. So there's definitely been influence of true biblical teaching in there, you know, more in the last couple hundred years. But at the same time, there are just some deeply embedded paganistic ways of thinking that are very, very prominent over there still. And just really been a stronghold for many of them. Immorality is just on the loose, you know what I mean? There's billboards all over for AIDS and things like that, you know, and it's just, it's just very uncommon to see, or very common to see and find out about people that are living immoral lives. You know, it's pretty typical for a husband to have a wife back in their farm country area, and then he moves into the city and gets a wife there, and so he kind of, you know, is supporting two families, has two wives, or at least two. There's a lot of twisted thinking there in their minds that the Word of God can set straight, the power of Christ can change. All right. Yes. What do they drink there? You can't, for us, we have to be careful not to just drink the water right out of the tap over there. We have to really drink a lot, always drink filtered water or bottled water. The average Kenyan, though, a lot of them just drink water, or almost every little roadside stand that you see has bottled soda there that is available. But most of them don't drink that because it's expensive and they're just spending their money to get their daily food. And so probably water would be the most common. Yeah. All right. And there's lots of animals over there. They have game parks with lions and leopards and elephants and a lot of monkeys, even outside of the game parks. You see monkeys all over the place there and kind of some neat wildlife, along with snakes, of course. When we were there, a little black spitting cobra came crawling through the yard and was, you know, sticking the cape out and hissing at us, and we were able to put an end to that one, but there's some exciting stories from that. So, yes, sir. Say that again. Yeah, there's definitely been quite a few people that have trusted Christ as Savior. That's been neat to see. Even just in the last couple of weeks there at Lighthouse Baptist Church, there have been some new visitors that have come. One of them in particular had received a gospel tract about a year ago and been wanting to come and visit. And so a whole year had gone by before he finally came. He came on a Thursday night, their midweek service, and heard the gospel preached and received Christ as his Savior after that service. So God had been preparing his heart, and he kept looking at that tract and knowing that he needed to come. And he's going through discipleship courses right now. And so they, at Lighthouse Baptist Church, they have a group of about 50 or 60 that are pretty regular attenders that meet right there in the city of Thika. So yeah, there's been several different accounts of people more recently, especially, that have trusted Christ and started coming. Okay, back there. A couple of hands. Say that again. Not too much, but they do find it pretty fascinating to, you know, they stare at us a lot, and, you know, because it's kind of unusual for them to see white people, especially with red hair like that. Yeah, so the Swahili word for white man is mzungu. So a lot of times if you're walking down through, especially in the more rural areas, the little kids a pack of kids kind of follow you around, and they're shouting out, mzungu, mzungu. And they all think that we talk with a real nasally sound, and so when they come up to you, they say, how are you? How are you? It's really funny. It kind of gets annoying after a little while. I remember one time a group was following us, and my brother, you know, just to kind of play back with them, he turned around and he goes, I am fine. And they just died laughing. That made their day. So, yeah. We do kind of have more of a nasally sound, though, compared to how most of them talk. It's kind of funny. All right, one more question here. Yes, ma'am. Sure. How Lighthouse Baptist started? My brother and his family had been in the Theka area, living just outside of the city of Theka, helping with the Simonson family at a church plant called Jumapili Baptist Church. It was on a coffee plantation called Jumapili Estate, which Jumapili is the Swahili word for Sunday. And so it's Sunday Baptist Church, but that's because it was the name of the plantation there. So anyways, they served there in their first couple of terms helping with that church plant. And they, you know, had been looking ahead as the Lord provided a national pastor for Jumapili Baptist. They were really just praying to God to show them where they should go next. And they knew that there was no good Baptist church. There's not any Baptist church, or not very few even that really just preach the Bible that they know of right there in the city of Theka. And so God burdened their heart and opened up the door for them to be able to meet in a, it's kind of a business building, but they've been able to rent a couple of rooms there in that building up on the second story. And they really just started from scratch. They just started knocking on doors and inviting people to come and meet there. And little by little, God has brought people in. And there's been a group that's been very faithful. And so really, none of them are people that have like transferred in from other churches there. It's been people that have just come to know Christ and started coming to the church there. And even just a couple of weeks ago, there's a man by the name of Duncan and his wife, Roslyn. They've been probably the most faithful couple. They've got a couple of kids. And just a couple of weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks ago now, God had been working in his heart previous to this decision to surrender to full-time ministry. And he came up after a service one night when Dr. Jim Van Gelderen was preaching there, and just surrendered his heart to the Lord. He runs a computer business right there in the city of Theka, and he committed though to being able to get into some Bible college courses, and it's been neat to see God providing for his work, for his income, even though he's been stepping out of that job some and letting some of the other employees run that in his absence. But so pray for Dunkin'. I was thinking, there's Dunkin' Donuts around here. Whenever you go by a Dunkin' Donuts, remember to pray for Dunkin'. Sometimes these little things help us remember to pray for people and pray for certain things. So pray that for him. There, more recently, too, there's been some definite opposition that Satan has tried to throw in there and counteract what God is doing. So pray for Dunkin'. He and Rosalind need a lot of prayer, that they would continue on and be growing in the Lord and get some good training, and that they would be equipped to be able to take that church on as the pastor possibly. So we're just praying to see what God does there. All right, very good. Well, at this time, I'm going to have my wife come and join me. We're going to sing a song just before we look into God's Word for a few minutes. But we're going to sing a song that has been a great encouragement to us, a Bible truth that tells us that Jesus Christ is more than able to do beyond what we can ask or think as we trust in Him, as we look to Him.
My Savior triumphed over Satan when on the cross he conquered sin. He rose from death for my salvation, that I might live and victory win. Now unto him who's more than able to do abundantly above, unto Him who can be trusted, be all the praise for victory won. My heart cries out in full surrender to Christ who gave His all for me. By faith receiving grace and power, the Word of God my faith sustaining,
as he alone my soul doth seek. Christ is in me the hope of glory. He gives his power unto the weak. Now unto him who's more than able to do abundantly above. Now unto him who can be trusted be all the praise for victory won. God's plan throughout the countless ages is that his glory shall abound. Oh, may I trust and sing his praises, that songs of victory might resound. Now unto him who's more than able to do abundantly above. Now unto him who can be trusted be all the praise for victory won. Be all the praise for victory won.
We certainly praise him for what he's done and all that he wants to do. We're trusting in him. We know that we are nothing significant in and of ourselves, but we're just so thankful for his grace. And I know many of you here tonight have experienced that, and thank him for the grace that he shows in our lives in drawing us to himself, and the grace that he gives us to be able to serve him. And I'd like for us in these last few minutes, if you would please just turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I'd love for us tonight to just be encouraged in a very real way through the Word of God to in the matter of giving the gospel. Of course, we're going over to the country of Kenya. God has burdened us to go there. But for all of you here this evening, God has you here. And maybe down the road sometime, God will direct you somewhere else, maybe across the ocean, maybe to another part of this country. But at the same time, we all are laborers together in the gospel. We are to be laboring. We are to be trusting God daily, seeking His cause. I'm sure every one of us here could stand up and talk about how easy it is to get sidetracked in this life, how easy it is to lose perspective of why we are here. Why are we on the face of this earth? Why has God created us? Why does He have us here? Does He have us here just to kind of exist through a period of time and then finally, you know, enter into heaven and be able to really become effective for His glory then? Or does He want us right now here on this earth to be bringing glory and honor to His name? Is there something that God has for me? Of course, many of you know the responsibility that and the privilege that each of us have through the Great Commission. When Christ was coming close to the end of His time on the face of this earth, He met with His disciples and challenged them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. What a marvelous thing. He told His disciples that as they were all very concerned about the fact that He would be leaving them, as He was telling them, you know, that He wasn't going to be with them forever. And He wanted them to know, though, that there was someone greater than He coming that would come and enable them to fulfill the will of God here on this earth. And of course, we as believers know the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit of God abiding within us, enabling us to walk with Him when we trust in Him, when we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And those are some marvelous truths, glorious realities that we can dwell on and experience here in this life on earth as we seek to fulfill the will that God has for us. And yes, I know, for many many of God's children here on the face of this earth, here and here in this country of America. God has for you to be working a full-time job maybe and providing for your family or providing for loved ones. And God has you doing that, but at the same time, there is a greater cause. There's a greater purpose that He has for you other than just getting up, going to work, come home, eat, go to sleep, get up, go to work, come home, eat, go to sleep, you know, and so on. I know that's not all that it involves, but at the same time, we can often lose that perspective. And I'd love for us to look at a passage of Scripture in these last few minutes that I trust would just be a great encouragement to us tonight to trust in the Lord for strength, to endure challenges, to endure hardships, to face some opposition, to be able to just keep trusting God even in the midst of maybe some ridicule. It's always hard, you know, from people that you know well, or maybe teenagers here tonight, young people. It's hard when other people of your age make fun of you for being a Christian. But let's look at this passage. We'll just look briefly at it tonight. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And here we have the account of Paul and Silas coming into the city of Philippi to preach the gospel. God had clearly led them in this way. And notice what happens, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Let's just pray. Lord, we ask for your blessing as we look at your word. Lord, we know that in and of ourselves we cannot reap and glean all the blessings and benefits that you have for us in your word. Help us tonight. Lord, strengthen us. And use your word in our hearts, we pray, that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to convict and to strengthen us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to notice here, as Paul and Silas, here these examples of Christians like you and I, made out of the same material, made out of the same stuff you and I are made out of, but they had a strong confidence in their Savior. They knew that Jesus was the truth and the way. They knew that He was the one that needed to be proclaimed in every city and around the world. And they knew that as they fulfilled the commission that their Savior had sent them on, the great commission that you and I have been commissioned to fulfill in this world, they knew that Christ was with them. You know, notice it is called a co-mission. Jesus Christ is the one we are partnered with in spreading the gospel. It's not just me. It's not just my ideas. I'm not going to try to force my thinking upon the people of Kenya. It is Jesus Christ. He has changed my life. And He is going to use me as we trust in Him, as we rely on Him. He's going to use us. Does that mean that we never have any bit of fear in our hearts? Absolutely not. But we have to trust Him for grace in those moments as well. Paul and Silas, I guarantee, experienced some fear as they went into the city of Philippi. They were encountered by a demon-possessed girl. And notice in verse 18 that this went on many days. Here this girl was announcing, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Notice these men didn't, later on, that caught Paul and Silas, they didn't catch that girl and drag her to the magistrates and accuse her of teaching customs that were unlawful. But as soon as they stopped making money, they then became upset at Paul and Silas and grabbed a hold of them. And notice here, verse 18, that it says, this did she many days. You know, I guarantee that Paul and Silas spent some time praying. They were praying, crying out to God for wisdom and strength to know what to do with this demon-possessed girl. And then a few days later, it says, Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And then in verse 19, things pick up and get a little bit more exciting here. But put yourself in their shoes tonight. Put yourself in their shoes. Imagine what would you have done? How would you have responded if you were just simply being obedient to what God had told you to do? God told these men to go in to Philippi and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel. Tell them that Jesus Christ had come, had paid the penalty of their sins and risen from the dead, and that they served a risen Savior that wanted to save all of these people in this city from their sin. And of course, Satan was there to oppose, as he always is. And as they went to prayer, of course, you and I have definitely experienced the opposition. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to become distracted when you're praying? How easy it is to start thinking about other things when you know you need to be praying? It's a very easy thing, isn't it? Satan loves to make it easy for us to not pray, or make it easy for us to be discouraged from doing what we know God wants us to do. But here Paul and Silas knew that God had led them into this city to preach the truth of the gospel. But then you see in verse 19 and 20 that the rulers here, they were dragged before the rulers. They were taken up to the magistrates and accused of teaching things that were false, teaching things that were unlawful for the Romans to receive. And then you see in verse 22, the multitude rose up against them. Wow. Could you imagine yourself in that situation? I can think of a lot of preachers in our world today that, in these mega churches and TV preachers, you know, that are out there to preach a popular message. You never hear them preaching about the truth of hell. You know, and that is a terrible sin, I believe, that God will hold against many Christians. We need to be proclaiming the fact that there is a real hell. There are people dying there and going there. And it would be absolutely unloving to warn them, would it not? And here Paul and Silas were warning these people of their sinful ways and became a victim of this violence here that the magistrates and these people, these rulers of the city, were bringing out against them. And then verse 22, the whole multitude rose against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. But notice, Paul and Silas and all of this did not change their message. They did not try to negotiate with the people there. They just remained steadfast with what God had told them to do. You know, I know that in my own human heart, when I'm not relying on God for His strength and His grace, it's very easy to become overcome by fears. You know, maybe you're at the mall or you're at a gas station and you see somebody and God prompts you and really convicts you to go and talk to that person about Jesus Christ. Go give them a gospel tract. And you think, oh no, you know, there's other people around. And maybe you don't even think through those exact words, but you just kind of back out of it. We've all been there, haven't we? What does it take to stop us from giving out the gospel? Are you afraid of what the person next to them is going to think? Or the person that's with you, are you afraid of what they're going to think? Maybe you had a family reunion. Those are often very difficult, aren't they? Because, you know, you can't, they're your family. You love them and you want to give them the truth, but at the same time you know that maybe they're antagonistic toward the gospel. Be looking for opportunities that God would open up for you to give the gospel. And don't change the message. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Paul challenges us in Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They didn't change their message. They could have tried to negotiate, but here Paul and Silas maintained a steadfast commitment to truth. They didn't change the gospel message. They didn't try to adjust what they were saying and apologize for what they had been preaching. They stayed committed to it. They didn't apologize. They didn't back out. And notice what happened here. They went through some severe beating. Verse 23, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, put them into the innermost prison, verse 24 says, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Boy, at this point, I think I would be a little bit discouraged. I would be very tempted to second guess God's leading in this way. I'm sure that as they sat there in the prison, other prisoners that had probably been locked in there for years began to sneer and mock them and make comments, you know, shout things out at them and mock them. But notice what they did. As they stayed committed to the truth and obedient, trusting God and just trusting Him, even in the midst of this persecution and opposition, notice here that the Spirit of God flowed through them mightily. You know, when you have not been obedient to the clear commands that God has given us, you're not going to see much evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. But here Paul and Silas saw some tremendous evidence of the Holy Spirit because they kept trusting God. Yes, I guarantee they were doubted. They were tempted to doubt. I guarantee they were tempted to just kind of back off. But notice what they did. At verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Wow. What a testimony. How many times when somebody turns you off, you know, slams a door in your face or rolls their eyes at you because you're talking about Jesus again, and you're trying to show them that love, like we heard this morning. What a tremendous challenge that message was. That is how we are to be living out this life that Christ has for us. Showing love. Christ came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That is what you and I are to be living out. Showing that unconditional love. Seeking God, trusting Him, even at times when we face opposition. Maybe there's that coworker, maybe that family member you have that has mocked you for years. Continue to pray for opportunities to show them love. Continue to pray for opportunities and be praying. They can't stop your prayers. They might stop you from talking, but they cannot stop you from praying. Satan wants you to be discouraged. These two guys would have had pretty good reason to be discouraged at this point, wouldn't you say? I mean, are you putting yourself in their shoes here? But they prayed and sang praises. Boy, what a testimony. The Spirit of God was obviously flowing through them. They didn't change their gospel message. They didn't try to negotiate and back out of the situation when they faced the opposition. They continued on, trusting God, seeking His strength. And thus, the Spirit of God was able to flow through them and use them in a mighty way, as we'll see in verse 26 here. And notice how because they stayed committed to the truth and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, God was thus able to show His mighty hand of salvation. Not only in delivering them from the chains that they were in, but also in showing His hand of salvation in this Philippian jailer. Look at verse 26. Or verse 25, they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Boy, wouldn't you love to have seen that? How amazing. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. He knew he was dead meat. He would have been killed for letting all these prisoners escape, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And notice this verse. He then called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before who? Paul and Silas. Why didn't he go to any of... He probably knew some other prisoners in there a lot better. Maybe had even developed a little bit of a friendship with some of them. I don't know. Why did he come to Paul and Silas? How did he know that they would have the answer to everything that was going on? Because the power of God was upon them. The blessing of God was very obvious. He may have even heard them singing loudly there. You know, the other prisoners heard them singing and giving praises. Some of that might have drifted up into his bedroom window and through the bars of his window there in his bedchamber that night. He knew that these guys had something supernatural. The natural thing would have been for these guys to get upset, to sit in there and curse God for failing them when he had led them to come and give the gospel and then allowed them to be beaten and thrown into jail. The natural thing would have been to doubt, to question God. I mean, we've all faced those temptations, haven't we, when we've gone through difficulties. But Paul and Silas continued to trust God. And as a result, this Philippian jailer knew there was something supernatural about these two men. As we close this evening, how is your life? Maybe as we're looking at the examples of these men, God is convicting you of some area of your testimony as a Christian that you know has not been promoting the gospel. You know it has been a hindrance to the gospel. May God help us tonight to be honest with Him and to trust Him for strength to get victory and to see God remove those areas and help us to grow in those areas where we have not been giving the gospel. Maybe there's somebody here, someone that you are thinking of tonight, that you know God has prompted you to witness to them. God has even opened up divine appointments and you have not taken them. Remember why we're here on this earth. That is why we are here. God, that is why God has saved you, so that you can be a light, so you can be used of God. He could have left, you know, Jesus Christ could have stayed here on the face of this earth, but that was not God the Father's perfect will. His perfect will is that you and I live out the life of Jesus Christ and spread the gospel. How are you doing tonight? Are you trusting Him daily for strength? Let's go to Him in prayer.